Oh, okay. Are you done? I'm sorry. Well, I was going to say good morning. That's wrong. And it feels very quiet in here. It feels uptight in here. And I think you people need to be released a little bit. Are you okay? I'm glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
Okay. Come on, I know you all spent your money this morning at the marina and you're sad, you've come here broke, and Brian didn't pray for God to provide for all the finances you spent this morning. And are you going to be okay? Hi, Ruth.
I have praises.
Do you?
Yes.
Good.
We made this morning off the horses and our basket we had, $635 for the gifts. For the kids, for the backpacks, and they all go for toys.
Way to go. That's awesome. Great. You know what else I saw? You were selling stuff too.
Yes.
But you helped a whole bunch of ladies
yes.
make stuff.
Yes.
Can you just in 1 minute tell them what you did? Can you do that?
Delighted.
It's just a 1 minute testimony.
Several years ago, for those of you that remember a Stephen Tipton who lived here,
five.
He helped to educate people.
Ten.
And Castaway Kids was fortunate enough to be able to help finish a building in Las Playitas, now known as the Tipton Center.
Okay.
Well, in 2008, I began there. I'm a quilter, and I sew, and so I taught these lovely ladies. Now we have 10 women in Las Playitas that make items, and they will sell that for their families. And they get donations from fabric and all other types of things from the U.S. and Canada. And praise the Lord, it is beautiful.
It was so cool. I was watching Larry. He's got these 10 envelopes, and people these people are selling their stuff. And Larry's trying to put it in the right envelope, and he's stuffing envelopes. I go, he looked like a money changer in the temple. Honest to goodness,
but good for something.
Oh, you did a great job, and so it was fun. I hope you were there and got to participate. I got some cookies out of the deal, and I have some heavy cinnamon buns in my stomach. I ate one, and then I looked around, and nobody was on our street, so I ate another one. And then I thought, oh my goodness, I got to preach tonight, but I got to eat one more. But that was supper. Okay. Wow. I am so glad you're here. And first Saturday night, eh? It's. Have all of you always come on Saturday night, the ones of you that are here?
No.
Yes
and no. Most of
Okay. It's more relaxed, I'm told.
Yeah.
That's up to you.
No pressure. What's his name there? He keeps pressuring me. He says, when are you going to be done tonight? We got done quicker on Saturday. It doesn't bother me a bit. But I am glad to be here. You know what? We just had such a good week. Can I tell you just a bit before I preach?
Please do.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Some of you looking pretty sober yet. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Jesus loves you. And you'll get better. Come on. So what we did, Tuesday we went for a tour, eh? We went out to this, is it San Juan or San Jose?
San Jose.
San Jose? We went out there, we went to an old folks home where some of the people do some work. We get in there, there's about a dozen people in there that are residents. One of them, an older gentleman, Mexican man, he started serenading my wife. Could he sing? And he must, I don't know, he is a good age already, he was ripe. And but he sang with this baritone voice. I thought we could bring him here and help you guys yet too. My goodness, he was so good. And it was so much fun. We got to see this. But the folks we were with, the part that really touched me, the folks that we went with, the gentleman went into the kitchen of this old folks home. He says, what do you need? And he took out his pad and he made a list and walked out. And we went with them to the next place. Actually, we went out to the desert. Cactus. I didn't know they made them that big, people. Oh, they're enormous. I got some pictures on Facebook if you want to see them. It was good. And then we went from the cactus, we went to an orphanage on the other side of Empalme somewhere. And I watched this gentleman again. He went into the orphanage, and he went into the storage area, and he started taking notes of what they needed. And he said, I'll be back next week, and I'll I'll bring you the stuff you need. And I went, what a neat way of serving Jesus. And just a simple, he doesn't want credit, he doesn't want to be known, he doesn't want to be made visible. He just walked in and took care of it. And I thought, the heart of Jesus at work, wasn't it? And so we had such a good time just watching them and getting to see some more stuff. We picked up seashells by the seashore. And that was fun too. And so, anyways, what else did we do? Oh, we have two people here that you just need to be blessed by. I've been following Ronnie and Ray around a bit with this building project thing and just trying to get information credibly and in place. These gentlemen have gone beyond the call of duty to try and make sure that everything's going to be in place right. And I want to applaud you two men. It has been just a treat to watch you do that work. Why don't you give them the thanks then? And so, it was so good. We met with Sven the other day, and I forget what day it was, but we met with Sven and the contractor, and I'm just going, this guy just wants to serve us. And these guys, Ronnie and Ray, are asking the right questions, and I was so blessed. And I'm just going, wouldn't it be neat if we can, all those people I met this morning in the marina, and go, some of them, well, not all of them, but a lot of them said, I'd really like to come to your church. I went, oh, that's exciting. Janine met a few more when she was selling horses, telling them about the church. And I was going, that's just so cool. Wouldn't it be neat if some of the fruit of that could be people coming here and giving their hearts to Jesus in the years to come, eh? Isn't that why this place was built? Come on. Are you with me? Ah, you bet. I know you are. Just in case you want to call Janine, that's our number. And, okay, that's all we need. Yes?
The men's breakfast, Oscar?
Oscar shared.
With the men?
Yeah. Oscar shared at the men's breakfast on Thursday. Oscar's.
I don't know how many people know about him.
Okay.
What his mission is.
Yeah. And he's going to come and share. Or he's going to come.
He came on men's breakfast.
Right? Yes. Yeah. And shared a little bit of how he's been able to help Maggie in some of those things. A young new believer. And
270 plus orphans that he feeds every day. And he started doing that. And he has other people now who are volunteering to help him out.
Yeah.
But he really has a heart for the wineless community.
Yeah.
And he's been working with Jesse for quite some time. Probably close to 4 years.
Cool. And doing a great job.
Yes, he is.
You bet. Loves God. I want to say thank you, and I always want to express our thanks. You know what? An attitude of gratitude goes a long ways, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When we were in our other church where we were in the pew with you folks for the last year in Puerto Vallarta, well, you weren't in Puerto Vallarta, but we were in the pew like you are. We helped wherever we could, whatever mission we could help at. We served and just stayed behind the scenes and tried to be helpers. We never left a single place where we served or helped without hearing at least one thank you, if not two or three. And I go, I thought when we come here, I just want to encourage that to continue in this church in the same way. An attitude of gratitude where we appreciate one another and we go, I love these people. And I do. I like most of you. Some of you got some weird things going on. Like, I don't know. Like, some of you ride Honda motorcycles. And Jerry's one of them. But other than that, I love you, Jerry. Yeah, it could grow up. But isn't that true? I am preaching here. I am sharing what's important. If we don't love each other, we're in a lot of trouble. And just seeing some of that attitude of gratitude and some of that love continue through us, I dream and look forward to even more. Lynn and Russ Penny have given over and over and over and over. And I'm so thankful they're here today. Aren't we all? They had that horrible accident, and we're so thankful the Lord's brought you back to us here. But beyond that, we want to thank you beyond your friendship for what you do for us as well. And we appreciate your friendship. We don't just appreciate you for what you do. We appreciate you for your friendship. And then for your gifts to us, we just want to say thank you as well. So bless you guys, okay? We're talking about what do I say tonight? was going to say this morning. What do I say? How many of you, when you hear that word evangelism, you just go, oh, good night. I don't like that part of Christianity. And sometimes it is challenging. And I believe we need to talk about this subject one more time before Christmas. We have talked now, since we've been here, we've talked about how do I look. In other words, why am I here? Am I here just to look good, to perform well, or whatever? Or am I here because I want to get a sense of the heart of God and I want to do what He wants me to do, right? We have talked about how big is our church and the fact that it's not about the building. It goes much beyond and into our community. I had a couple of opportunities to pray this morning at the marina, and I'm going, how neat was that? To pray in the public with, and it was not a big visible thing, it was just a chance to care for people. How big is our church? Well, it goes way beyond these walls. We've talked about loving the people that we find hard to love. There's some of those. Most of them are in Canada, I know. But we've talked about the people that are hard to love sometimes. Truth is, if we don't love the people right here, we truly won't love anyone who isn't a part of this place either. And last week we talked about the fact that we are the church, you and me. And we asked the question, if you were the church and you looked inside yourself, would you still attend? If you are the church and you looked inside yourself, would you still come to that church? And so the challenge is to be reminded that we are the church, that we are the voice of God, we are God with skin on in our community. And so I pray that you are at that place where you would still very much enjoy attending the church, because when the people of God act like the people of God, we actually help people see God. And that's so important to understand. We are the church. We're out there. And when we act like the people of God, people see God. That's exciting.
Yes, it is.
Come on. You're the Saturday night crowd, and I'm the one that should be sleepy, and you're holding back on me. Okay, we need to run a little faster. Okay, today I want to talk a little further. I want to give some practical application. My points, several of them are from another source. I honestly can't remember where, but I have this list in my files. And there's a few other points that I've added, and I want to flesh it out for us here at SCC. How do I talk about my faith? Should I even talk about my faith in this pluralistic, tolerant society where everything is right, everything is accepted, everything is supposed to be good? Should I really be talking about my faith? Yeah, the Bible says. And actually, discipleship, folks, I shouldn't go on rabbit trails, but I will go on one. When I worked with Power to Change, with Campus Crusade up in Canada, I was going all across Canada. My role was to try and help churches reach into their communities in a better way. That was my role. And I would come into contact with different pastors all the time. And he said, oh, you're about evangelism. Well, our church is about discipleship. And after I heard that too many dozen times, I was just about the point where I wasn't quite Christian in my response anymore. Folks, discipleship is not just, I'm from Manitoba where we have cows. How many of you know cows have three stomachs? Yeah. They go out to the field and they eat grass. And they suck that grass down into their belly. And then an hour or two later, you'll see them out in the gravel pit where there's no grass, and they're chewing like mad. And what they've done, they've brought that grass out of their stomach, and they're eating it now. First they just put it in there, then they eat it now. They regurgitate it up, and they eat it, and then it goes into the second stomach, and then it does all the stuff it's supposed to do. And they're really weird. But you know what? They're a lot like Christians. We get another meal, and we just sit there, and we eat another meal, and we just get fat, being discipled, and discipled, and discipled, and discipled. And sometime, you've got to expel what you've put in so that you can actually put in something fresh again. And I'd run into these pastors who go, we're about discipleship. And I'm going, when I read Matthew 28, discipleship is about helping someone to become a Christian, to observe all the things that he has commanded us, and that he's going to be with us as we go into all the world and preach the gospel, so that we can help other people become disciples, so they can observe everything that is written therein, so that they can go out and make more disciples who can observe everything that is written therein and make more disciples. It's like that cycle. And I'd run into pastor after pastor, go, we're about discipleship. And then I run into another pastor, oh, we're about evangelism, let's go for this. And I'm going, but it isn't either or. Discipleship is growing in Christ and taking what we know and bringing it to people in a meaningful way so they can chew on it too. Amen? And so, when the people of God act like the people of God, which is being out there in community, people will be able to see God. And I want to talk this morning a little bit about how we can go about doing that. I remember hearing this stat at a church leadership conference with Thomas Rainer. And Thomas Rainer is a big stats guy in the States. I was at a leadership conference of his in Virginia, I believe it was. And Thomas Rainer sent out 17 people across North America. They were only to talk to people who didn't go to church. Nobody else. No Christians, no church-going people. They're only to talk to people who didn't go to church. He sent people up to Canada. He sent people all across the States. 17 people out doing a massive survey. At the end of the survey, this is what he said. 96% of the unchurched are at least somewhat likely to attend church if they are invited. 96%. You're going, that's nuts. But you know what? They never get invited. They seldom get invited. And so I went, okay, well, let's take the thought a step further. What if Rainer, who has total credibility in the States, what if we took Rainer and we just cut his stats in half and we took it to this next step? If he's even half right, 59 million Mexicans, 15 million Canadians, and about 140 million Americans would consider it coming to church if they were invited. You're way too quiet. Does that not boggle your mind?
Yes, it does.
Oh, I don't know if I want to say anything about Jesus. Or what if you just love them? What if you just teach them how to knit a bit and help them so that they can learn to make some money for themselves and so they can take care of themselves, and in the process, you get to share Jesus with them? I go... That boggles my mind. That's 200 million people in North America that would consider coming to church if someone would just simply ask them. Here's something else they said. One of the guys they interviewed, Monty G. from Baltimore, he said, I had some people come to see me from such and such a church, just 3 blocks from here. He said, I felt like they were meeting a soul quota with me. They just wanted to spill their presentation and move on. But I would have been happy to talk with them for a long time if I thought they really cared. Now, isn't that the line that we have to learn to navigate a little better? You see, we serve a great God. We do have something special. I know how different my life is from the time I was 28 years old. I know where my life was going before that. My life, it has purpose now. It has meaning that goes beyond just having a bigger farm or drinking a little more beer. Hello? Rainer's point is good. Do I care about people or do I just want to get them saved? Do I care enough about them that I want to share with them the incredible hope we have in Christ when I get the right timing to do that? And people can so easily see through a sham. You know, you watch your kids, your teenagers, boy, they could read a scam any time of the week, couldn't they? They were sharp that way. And so people can see through things, and we're challenged all through Scripture to genuinely care for people, but we also need to tell them, because many of them are waiting to hear if we take the time and if we treat them with respect and kindness like they deserve. Reiner says much more, and it's an excellent article, but let's get back to this. What do I say? Here's what I want us to see from our challenge and from different people. We're going to look at six different people in Scripture this morning. And I want to show them to you because everybody does evangelism differently. Larry is different than I am. Jerry is different than I am. Chuck, you're different than I am. Sonia, thank the Lord, but you're different than I am. And what I mean about that and why that's important is because we are different people, we will have different approaches. And so often we've been taught this cookie cutter approach to evangelism, learn these six sentences and go out and do a leading set of questions and you'll get them. And you know, maybe it worked 30 years ago, I don't know. But I know it doesn't work today because people see through it. And so let's get back to this. Every one of us has a different personality, and I'm going to show you six personalities from the Scripture this evening and how they did evangelism. And I want you in that process to see who they were and how they did it, and I want you to see which one you resonate with, which one's closest to your style, because we all do it different. There is no cookie-cutter approach. God wants to use our personalities. And so the first one I want to talk about is Peter's confrontational style. Peter in the book of Acts. You remember Peter? Ready, fire, aim. Remember? Foot in his mouth and away he'd go, right? He'd just say something, then he'd think about it. But what did the Lord call him? The rock. Okay, so let's not be hard on Peter, because Peter is the confrontational style. So let's look at the passage. And in fact, let me share a quick story. When I was in Bible school, I hope you're okay with me coming here because you're way too far away tonight. When I was in Bible school, we had to take this course, Evangelism Explosion. It was done by D. James Kennedy down in Coral Ridge Presbyterian. It was a great course. But part of taking that course, we had to take it during the week, and then on Saturday, we had to go stand in front of the Woolco, or the Wool something, whatever, one of these big stores. We had to stand in front of that all Saturday morning and do man-on-the-street interviews. Oh, I hated it, Chuck. I hated it so badly. And we'd stand out front there and we'd accost people as they were coming into the store, and we had this five leading questions, and at the end, if they didn't answer the last one right, they were fair game. Now we're going to get them to Jesus. And I did terrible at it. The whole time I would pray that our time would be over and that we could go back to where we lived. I just didn't want to be there. I didn't want to do that. But I had two friends that would go with us, and they were good at it. And I'd watch them and I'd go, oh my goodness, how can they like this? I hated it. It's not my style. But they were good. They'd get right in the face and they'd say exactly what needed to be said. And they were comfortable. It was their personality. It was their gift. Well, Peter was like that. And let me just read part of his sermon here. Peter says in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, he says, therefore, he's preaching now to a group of unsaved people, therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, who you crucified, by the way. He didn't say, who you not knowingly put to death. No, he says, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, really simple, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Promises for you, your children, for all who are far off, which refers to us, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Ready, fire, aim.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know people like that? In your face before you've even said hello? Huh? Yeah. But you know what? They're rocks. And God showed them to do it that way, and it's natural for them to do it that way. And if they were to get all fluffy in their talk, somebody would think they'd been smoking something. So let them be who they are. That's what God intended. Honor them. And usually those kind of people end up meeting other people who are also kind of blunt and straight to the point, and they're the best people to connect with them. That's how God designed it. So Peter has a style here that's pretty good. It's confident, it's bold, it's direct, it skips the small talk. They don't pray. You ever hear people pray? They pray about the flowers, and they pray about the weather. And not this guy. This guy goes, "Dear God, this is what I need. In your name, amen." Right? That's the style. Has strong opinions, has strong convictions. That's Peter's confrontational style. Paul, and we talked about this in another sermon back about 3 weeks ago, and so it won't take a lot of time, but Paul had an intellectual approach. He liked to reason. He liked to debate. And so Paul in Acts 17, and you'll remember the text a bit, Paul stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus, and he said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now, what you worship as something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you." See, he keeps on building on the logic. He just goes from one step to the next. "When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, 'We want to hear you again on this subject.'" He had a logical, reasoned approach that worked with the people of Athens. It was great. And it was Paul's style. I have a son like this, our second son. He drives me nuts. He's a total academic. He's doing his master's in New Testament history. And he talks to me on the phone and he builds these long, prolific arguments. I'm going, "What's your point? What's your point?" Huh? Yeah. You ever done that? But you know what? He does such a good job of it. And I'm actually starting to understand some of the stuff he says. Now I'm funning with you a little bit. But it's a logical, reasoned approach. And in a generation that we live in now that has become so very secular, we need to have those kind of people too that can do that logical, well-reasoned approach. Lee Strobel is good at this. Case for Christ, case for faith, that case for Easter. Lee takes a question, if God is good, why is there evil? And then he categorically answers that question. He's a real good one if you want to talk about somebody who works from this intellectual style. Okay, let's move on. This is a little bit of what they're like: analytical, logical, inquisitive, like to debate, more concerned with what people think than what they feel. Okay? And that's a big difference in people in this world. Okay, number three, testimonial approach of the blind man. And here the key passage, this is the story in John chapter 9. You remember Jesus came to the man. I won't read the whole passage. Jesus comes to this man, he's blind. The disciples ask, why was he born blind? Was it the fault of his parents? Was there sin in his life? What was going on? And Jesus said the only reason he was born blind was that God could be glorified in his life, right? You remember that story a little bit? So Jesus puts mud in his eyes, and the next thing you know, the guy's healed, right? And what happens? All the Pharisees and all the other sees, they got mad, and they get ticked, and they're going, what is this? This guy's claiming that Jesus healed him. And so what happens in the passage, a second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God. They said, we know this man, this Jesus, is a sinner. And the blind man, what does he do? He replies, he says, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. So here's the story, folks. I don't know if Jesus is a sinner. He just said, here's what happened. I was blind, now I can see. He's given his testimony. And he uses that as his approach to meet people, to tell people about Jesus. He doesn't respond with a theological debate. He doesn't respond with a ready-aimed fire, with a shot of truth. Instead, he spoke from his experience. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. There are a lot of people that live and work around us that need to hear your story. You've had a miracle. You've had something good happen in your life. It's time to tell them. In Chilliwack, where we pastored previously, I worked hard to try and promote this concept of touching our community for Christ. And sometimes I thought I took three steps forward and two steps back, but I got an email this week. Absolutely, I read it at 6 in the morning and I cried as soon as I finished reading it. But let me read it to you. It's from one of my elders. And He says this, he says, "We have wrapped up 40 days in the Word with the church congregation, with 85 adults participating in the Bible study and about 8 small groups that formed. I wish you could have heard Carlene Harrison give her testimony during the celebration service. She shared how their small group decided to do something for Teen Challenge." You familiar with Teen Challenge, addictions, all those people? "Teen Challenge now has an account in Chilliwack at the Bottle Depot so that when you return your bottles, the monies will go into their account. She talked to her employer about what her small group was doing and if the hotel would be willing to help by donating some of their bottle recyclables." Now, she works in Harrison Hot Springs, one of the premier resorts in the lower mainland of British Columbia. It's a beautiful place. And so the hotel decided to not only donate bottles, but an entire meal for the Teen Challenge establishment. Unsaved people, just caring. So they gave them a Christmas dinner with all the trimmings. That was awesome to hear, but the story gets even better. You see, Carlene had asked for prayer at the beginning of this Bible study. She has found it very difficult to talk about Christ at work. In fact, she never talks about Christ, and she never talks about church at work. Through all this, the whole hotel knows what she believes. The management, the cooks, the kitchen staff that help prepare the meals, even the building workers that collect the bottles that she takes to the Bottle Depot for Teen Challenge. She shared that it has opened doors to conversations and new friendships at work. It was so awesome to hear her enthusiasm and excitement about sharing her faith. God is good. I know Carlene. She's a young mother, about 30 years old, with 3 little kids. And I know for the 3 years we were there, her husband was always trying to encourage her to get involved. And here, through a simple little thing, a simple act of love, she now shares freely at the Harrison Hot Springs Hotel. Isn't that neat? Just a testimonial kind of approach. And it's hard to refute the obvious, folks. Who are you most like so far? Does any of you know where you fit already? Yeah? Okay. Matthew's interpersonal approach. Luke 5 is where we are, and this is about relationship. And so let me just read to you a bit from Luke 5, verse 27. "After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. 'Follow me,' Jesus said to him, and Levi did." Do you ever wonder why he did? Like, there must have been a little bit of conversation in between there, but I don't know. Either that or Jesus was just very appealing. Anyways, he says, "Follow me," Jesus said to him, and Levi got up and left everything and followed him. Now catch this. "Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, 'Oh, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Why do you go to the Palapa Griga?'" Oh, no, that's not there.
Good food, wasn't it?
And what does Jesus do? He answers them, "It's not the healthy that need the doctor, it's the sick." Matthew was the most unlikely candidate you could ever have guessed. They're not known for evangelists. And after accepting Christ, Matthew decides to bring along as many of his friends as possible. He puts on a banquet for all his tax collecting buddies. Can you imagine the IRS at the, you know, some fancy hotel in California? And Matthew's there. And Matthew didn't confront them. He didn't intellectually challenge them. He didn't tell them his story. He relied on the relationships he'd built with these men. And he sought to further develop those relationships. And if this is your style, you're probably a warm, people-centered kind of person who just likes to keep adding on to your relationships. You're able to communicate well with those that you're reaching out to. And many people will never be reached until someone takes the time to build that kind of intimacy with them. Let me tell you another story to emphasize this. Can I do that?
Sure.
Just say yes, doctor. It's okay. Gerald. I met Gerald in our church back in Manitoba a number of years ago, probably 12, 13 years ago. Gerald's daughter had started coming to our youth group, and Gerald's mother-in-law had come out from Alberta for Christmas and broke her hip, and she was in the hospital and wanted to talk to a preacher. And so I went to visit her, and she gave her heart to Jesus. Through that, I got to know Gerald. And Gerald liked walking, and I hate walking. But I thought maybe if I joined him, I could lose some weight. Gerald and I walked 5 days out of seven for the next year and a half, 4 miles every time. He's a leader in Richardson Green Shields in Winnipeg. He runs the country elevator division, or he's a part of running that. And Gerald would tell me about leadership at Richardson Green Shields, which fascinated me, and I would tell him about what I was trying to do with leadership in our church. And it was funny, there were some things that really overlapped positively. I know not all leadership in church is leadership in business, but there's a lot of good business principles in leadership.
Yes.
Say you're doing okay, Pastor. I know some people struggle with that. Okay. So we walked 4 miles, 5 days out of seven, for a year and a half. I never lost a pound. The minute I got home, I ate 4 pieces of buttered toast so I could feel good again. But I did. Oh, I had to lather it up good, too, because yeah, I was so hungry after walking that far. Good night. Now you know why I look the way I do. But you know what? After a year and a half, Gerald gave his heart to Christ. And a few years later, he was on my board. And Gerald never distanced one of his buddies from our community, from his past. Instead, he started to bring him to the YF Youth for Christ banquets, to the golf-a-thons that church groups were doing, and he'd start to bring them to these events so they could hear the testimonies of people that came. He's an amazing guy. No, he still walks. Bless him. But do you hear how I'm saying? This is Matthew style. And yeah, you may not be the kind of person that says words, but you know of events where you can bring people and you can inspire people to hear somebody else's testimony. Never, like the thing we do sometimes as Christians, we compare ourselves with the gift that everybody else has. Oh, if I could just do it like Chuck does. If I could just do it like Frank does or Kathy does. If I could just do it like Ronnie does. No. God made us unique. Like your gift. And maybe you're a Peter, and maybe you're a Paul, and maybe you're a Matthew. Maybe you're one of these others that I'm going to talk about, but you got to be excited about who you are. These people are conversational, compassionate, sensitive, friendship-oriented. They focus on people and their needs, and that was Gerald all over. Paul said to the Corinthians, I've become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. Now, let's go to the next one. I'll finish quickly here. The Samaritan woman's invitational style. Do you remember the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well? She goes to the well at a bad time of the day because she's had a little bit of a rough lifestyle. And so she goes when nobody else is there so that nobody can accuse her. But she goes and Jesus is there, and Jesus tells her about the fact that she's been married 5 times and she's shacked up with the 6th guy. Yeah. And so she's a little shocked that Jesus knows all of this. And what does she do? She puts her water jar down. She goes back into town and says, guys, you have got to come out here and meet this Jesus guy. He just told me everything about who I am and what I've done. Could he be the Christ? She invites the community. And the community comes. In fact, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of town and made their way toward him. They came to hear what Jesus might have to say. And he stayed in town for 2 extra days, and many people came to know him as Savior. There's all kinds of people. If they would just be invited, just like the stat I shared with you earlier. I'll tell you about one more guy. His name's Weber. Weber is not a Christian. But Weber liked hanging out with Gerald and I. So he'd hang out with us. We'd go fishing and we'd go boating and skiing and all that stuff. Well, I don't ski because I just hold the front of the boat down. Keep it planing. But we'd go fishing, doing all kinds of stuff together. And Weber started coming to church. And my youth pastor's wife had the voice of an angel. Oh, she could sing. And Weber would be in the bar every Saturday night. He says, you've got to come to church tomorrow. He says, you have got to hear Brenda sing. Weber brought more people to church than the church people did. Do you get the point? It was just, there was something good that was going on. He says, come and see Brenda sing. And it worked. And everybody loved Brenda singing. She was so awesome. There's one final one. Let me share it quickly. Dorcas service approach. Whoops. Remember Dorcas? Let me read the passage. Yeah, that's a funny name, isn't it? Don't call your children that. They might not love you. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, oh, there's the problem, who was always doing good and helping the poor. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room, and all the widows stood around him crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Dorcas served people, and through serving people, through going to orphanages, to go into all these places, she gained chances to tell other people about Christ. Let me tell you a neat story. Campus Crusade used to do a lot of work in Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, all through there. We had quite a system that worked there. Switching stations where telephone calls that came in from Arab-speaking people who wanted to become Christian, they were switched from one country to the next, and then the call was finally answered in a safe country. And so, but what we discovered was that us North Americans were not having an impact in Iraq and Iran. And what else we discovered was that a lot of the Iraqis and Iranis had Filipino servants. How many of you know Filipino servants are the best natural servants in the whole world? You go into a nice restaurant, you go on a cruise, you will always find the Filipino people, and I'm not trying to be critical of anybody else, they're the warmest, they're warmest toast, they're caring, they're helpful, they will always serve you beyond the call of duty. Our North American influence was not working. So they gave it over to the Filipino Campus Crusade, and they, through their servanthood in the Iraqi and Iranian and Kuwaiti homes, made such a difference that we began seeing Arabs give their hearts to Jesus over and over and over again because they were impressed with the servanthood of the Filipinos. That blow you away? So many different approaches. No cookie cutter. You know why we don't do evangelism well? Because we think we got to be like Peter. Or we think we got to be like Paul. Dearly beloved, let me explain to you why Jesus died on the cross, what day he died, and for what purpose he died. Or we're just scared. And I just want to share with you today, there's many ways to give our influence to other people in our community. You want to show Jesus? Think about this evening. Which one are you? Any of you fit in this confrontational model? It's a good model. Don't be ashamed. I just don't do it. Yeah, that's a good point, Deirdre, because you will see yourself in several of these, and that's quite possible. The intellectual approach, how many of you just like telling stories? That's where I fit like a dirty old shirt. I just love telling stories. I'll tell people a story and try and get a point out of it somehow. How many of you would find yourself with that interpersonal style? Maybe an invitational style. Maybe you're the servant one. Can I encourage you tonight? Whatever you are, enjoy it. Let's not make Christianity miserable and think for some reason that, oh, I'm dearly beloved, I've got to be evangelist now for the next 10 minutes in front of this Woolco store. No. God gave me a unique way of speaking with people, and he's given you unique ways of influencing people. Doesn't that feel way more encouraging? Mm-hmm. Are some of you doing okay?
Absolutely.
Am I doing okay? Are you with me?
Amen.
Okay. I know you love Jesus. I've seen so many good giftings in all of you folks. I really have. I just marvel. We Janine and I have chats. We go, man, these people are generous. They're out doing stuff, and they're serving the church, and they're serving the town, and all kinds of stuff. We're just absolutely in love already. So don't let us down, okay? No. No, I'm just teasing. But I want to, somehow, I want to bring out the best in you. It's not about me. It's about what God wants to do through each one of you. And I find that thrilling. And if I can somehow stimulate, if I can somehow fan into flame a little bit that fire that's under you, then I am absolutely satisfied. Because I know the ability, the capacity, and the design God has for each of you. And so can I challenge you this week? Do you know your style? Do you know the one that might work the best for you? Could you come back a week from now and just go, just come and accost me somewhere and say, Glenn, I tried this one. I think it worked. Or Glenn, I got to fine-tune this one. But I tried it. Never feel bad about trying. But if you don't try, you're going to miss out on a blessing. Amen? Dear Lord, thank you for these folks. Thank you. And I pray, God, this evening that somehow each one of us would be encouraged to just consider what discipleship really is. That it's much more than just taking stuff in. It's about expelling it and bringing it out where it belongs. And so, God, you've showed us a number of different ways that happened in Scripture. You've given us a few ideas and stories probably in our own life that would reveal that in our own lives as well. And so, God, I just pray for liberty here this evening for each one of us to grab a hold of that and right where we're sitting, right now where we are, just say, Dear Jesus, I need you to help me. I want to use the opportunity that you're going to provide this week. Help me to be bolder than I normally would and to step out and trust you to provide the power I need to move forward. I want to do this for your glory, God, but I also want to do it because I want to be faithful and obedient to you. And I want to just see what it's like to have you partner with me and work through my life in that kind of meaningful way. And so it's in your name I pray that tonight, Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory.